Joker may be set within the DC universe, but it barely resembles any of the studio's most recent films. Its Gotham City is teeming with seedy corruption, its violence is grisly and personal, and its Joker is merely in the nascent phase of his criminal career. We're miles away from the campy theatrics of Jack Nicholson's interpretation of the character, or of Heath Ledger's playfully menacing and Oscar-winning version. The movie was generating controversy before anyone had even seen it, and as is the case with hysterias of the sort, it turns out to be much ado about very little. As the study of one man's descent into megalomania, Joker is carefully modulated and occasionally unnerving, and anchored by a bravura performance by Joaquin Phoenix. When it makes swipes at profundity and social commentary, however, it's not just confused, but very nearly contradictory. It's set in 1981 Gotham, an obvious stand-in for Ed Koch-era New York City, where bags of garbage are piling up everywhere because of a sanitation strike, and it's not enough that there's an infestation of rats, they're super rats. It's a place of roving gangs, sketchy subways, and porno theaters, and amidst the chaos is Arthur Fleck, played by Phoenix, who lives alone with his mother and works as a clown for hire, as a sign spinner on the streets, or an entertainer in children's hospitals. We learn that he had an abusive childhood, that he was abandoned by his father, that he's mentally unwell, and that he suffers from a tic that causes him to spontaneously break into uncontrollable laughter. Perhaps that's why Arthur fancies himself a comedian, and he longs to do his routines on the popular primetime talk show of Murray Franklin, who Arthur fantasizes meeting in a paternal embrace. Franklin is played by Robert De Niro, a casting choice that's an obvious nod to Martin Scorsese's brilliant 1983 film The King of Comedy, which starred De Niro in the role of a fanatic also enamored of a late-night host. In fact, Joker often plays like a Scorsese tribute act, and there's just as much of his taxi driver in this film's genetic makeup. The movie roams the same kinds of streets that Travis Bickle hoped would one day be washed free of scum. Like Travis, Arthur becomes dangerously obsessed with a local politician, here it's the millionaire Thomas Wayne, and projects an angelic innocence onto a friendly woman, in this case the single mother, Zazie Beetz, who lives down the hall. What's most surprising about Joker is that it comes courtesy of director Todd Phillips, best known for fratty mainstream comedies like Old School and The Hangover. His films typically depict male toxicity, but he's usually reveling in it, making heroes of the types of guys you would, in real life, do just about anything to keep away from. Here he's transmuted that same sort of material into slow-motion horror, mining it for dread as opposed to cheap laughs. Of course, Phillips is no Scorsese, whose best work invites us to empathize with troubling people until we're implicated in their inevitable crimes. Phillips' screenplay, which he co-wrote with Scott Silver, toes that line for a while. It examines Arthur's burgeoning sociopathy on both micro and macro levels. His violent tendencies, it argues, are a byproduct of Gotham's general antipathy for the mentally ill, and so we pity him up until the point that we cower from him. That is until the final act, when Arthur has finally been consumed by his Joker persona and delivers the movie's apparent thesis in a monologue that's not only clunkily written, but appears to make Arthur the voice of reason, blindly justifying the rebellion that erupts in the city streets. It's too facile and too self-serving. I'm not so much troubled by its muddy morals as I am frustrated by them. Like Death Wish, another movie about a vigilante who becomes a folk hero, Joker presents us with a complex issue and then solves it with finger paints. But it seems to me that a lot of negative reviews have gone past judging the film and are instead chastising its imagined audience, who will apparently misinterpret it and emulate it. This seems unfair to a movie that has a proper grittiness and contains some genuinely unsettling and edgy sequences. Compare its grubby, bludgeoning violence to that of other comic book properties, wherein city-leveling catastrophes are treated merely as CGI spectacle. It's Phoenix who's getting most of the positive press, and deservedly so. Arthur Fleck is weaselly, jittery, unpredictable, and so emaciated that his ribcage looks like it could burst through his skin. I don't know if anyone would confuse the observations in Joker for any kind of psychological nuance, but Phoenix's performance has enough layers to get lost in. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.